Time now for a visit with the ethicist. Randy Cohen writes the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine, and every 2 weeks you can hear him here as well. Randy, hello.
Hello, Linda.
Now, we've heard a lot of war stories over the past few weeks. D-Day veterans talking about what it was like to hit the beaches of Normandy. Today's letter comes from a listener we are calling Thomas in Washington, D.C., who writes that he wants to hear more about his father's war experiences. He writes, "My father died on the 6th of June, 2002. He was a veteran who arrived in Hiroshima days after the Japanese surrender and spent 2 years in Japan, but he never really shared his memories of the war, or so I thought." He goes on to say, "About 6 months ago, I visited my uncle, who was dying of lung cancer. I asked him if he knew anything of my father's time in Japan. He said he didn't. He paused and looked me in the eye. He made me promise not to tell anyone what he was about to share, and I promised. Shortly after my father died, a woman contacted my mother and sent her a package of letters. As I understand it, this woman is a Japanese-American who was in Japan when the war broke out and had to spend the balance of the war there. When U.S. troops arrived, they hired her as a translator. She and my father became friends." Thomas continues, "My mother allowed my uncle to read the letters, but she made him swear he would not tell me about this woman. My uncle said there was no evidence of anything scandalous. My father didn't even meet my mother until several years after he came home. I don't know why Mom won't talk to me about it, nor does my uncle. I want to see the letters and speak to this woman who knew my father during those years. One day, when Mom asked for my help on her computer, I came across the Japanese woman's email address. I memorized it. So, what do I do? The way I see it, I can, 1, forget about the whole thing, 2, confront my mother, 3, contact the Japanese woman myself without my mother's blessing or knowledge, or 4, something I haven't thought of yet." Randy, what do you think?
Well, apparently Thomas has chosen number 5, go on the radio and tell all the NPR listeners. I sympathize with this problem. My dad, too, was reluctant to talk about his war experiences, and I think more out of a sense of modesty than out of a sense of covering up any secrets. I think he would have thought it vainglorious somehow, and I wanted to know more, too, but as I grew up, and my sister and I both just respected his wanting to be quiet about it. I love Thomas's number 1, forget it. I envy anyone who could forget anything troubling. I don't know how he would do this, some kind of neurological procedure, perhaps. I haven't forgotten anything upsetting since, 1984. So if he can do that, I'm for it. So that one, for me, would be out. Number 3, contact the mystery woman directly. Kind of obeys the letter of the law of the promise he made. He could do that without betraying what his uncle had forbidden. But I'm the ethicist, not a Department of Justice lawyer who looks for letter of the law solutions. So that seems to betray the spirit of the promise he made. Which brings us to number 2, confront his mother. That sounds awfully two-fisted. Does he mean with Bowie knives or something? All right, Mom, that seems a bit rough, just a bit rough for me. But I like the idea of talking to his mother, gently and directly, which he could do without betraying his uncle as a source. He could ask her to talk more about his father's experiences in Japan. He could even talk to her about the actual information he has, that he's heard family rumors about his dad's life in Japan. It's see if his mother would come through. What's interesting to me also is that the uncle seems mostly concerned with protecting himself from embarrassment rather than protecting the information, that the mystery woman in Japan isn't trying to keep this a secret. She's contacted the mother. The mother seems to know all about it. So it seems to me the intent here is to protect the uncle from embarrassment, and the uncle is beyond embarrassment. The uncle's dead now. So I would advise speaking directly and gently to the mother.
Well, Thomas is in the studio with us today, and we appreciate your coming in. What did you think of this advice?
Well, I agree. I intend to talk to my mother about it. I think there could very well be reasons that my mother is keeping this from me that I have no idea about.
I think you're quite right to consider the motivations of both your mother and the mystery woman. But the only way you could ascertain them is to speak a little more directly to your mother. And if she suggests genuine reasons, then I'm afraid you do have to respect them. You must defer to them. But as it is now, the only the most plausible reason you have is the uncle's reluctance to be embarrassed. And I'm not sure that's such a potent ethical obligation?
Not now, no. Randy, I did give my mother several windows to talk about this. I mentioned it, and she really didn't take the opportunity to tell me about this.
But maybe it's time to be just a little more direct, that you've heard family rumors about your father's friendship with this woman. And can your mom tell you a little about it? A little directness, I think, is called for here. And you can do that without betraying your promise to your uncle. There's one other aspect of this question that I'd like to say just a bit about is, do we have an obligation to the dead? That is, having made a promise to someone who then dies, must we still keep that promise? Because in this case, I've suggested that there's very little obligation here. I want to stress that there are times when we must keep our word in such situations. If, for instance, you'd promised someone, a friend, after you're gone, I'll care for your children, that's a binding promise. Even though the person's dead, you must keep your word. Here. But here, it seems to me the necessity for keeping the promise has gone and your obligation is less absolute.
If you have a question for the ethicist, write to us at watc@npr.org and put the word ethics in the subject line. Please include a telephone number because we will need to reach you. Randy, Thomas, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Linda.